Good morning, Los Angeles, and welcome to another edition of the Weekend Warrior Show. I'm your host, Dr. Robert Clapper. I'm an orthopedic surgeon at Cedars-Sinai for 30 years. You know, U.S. News and World Report, they rank the hospitals in the whole country. And in orthopedics, where I train, the Hospital for Special Surgery, number one.
Absolutely.
Mayo Clinic, Rochester, Minnesota, number two. And Cedars-Sinai, Department of Orthopedic Surgery, thanks to Dr. Varis, Mark Varis, we're number three in the whole country. That's amazing, but it's deserved. I did shoulder surgery yesterday. I did six cases yesterday. I did a shoulder, two hip replacements, and three knee replacements. And I got to do shoulder surgery with a brand new young surgeon, just started. It's like seeing Kobe Bryant as a rookie. It's amazing. His name is Michael Stone. Damn, is this guy good. I got to get him on the radio. You got to hear about his training and who he is. USC is big in his life, though. And speaking of that, did you see that game? I am so happy for Clay Helton. Ah, good for him. What a good guy. Good coach. And good things are happening at USC in football. I'm so excited for today's show. The topic, oh, it's going to be fantastic. My guest, Greg Ehrenberg from DraftKings. This is the NFL, the wagering company, gambling, the whole bit, and he's a guru. Well, Greg Ehrenberg started out as a stand-up comedian. And now he's this guru for DraftKings, an expert in football. So it made me think all week, what's gambling? Gambling is risk-taking. I'm going to talk to him about being a stand-up comedian. Can you imagine? That's the ultimate risk-taking. He's a walking Renaissance man. But what about the worlds that I love of art, of sports, and of surgery? Where do you see risk-taking in these worlds? So in art, I couldn't help but think, this is a crazy one, only I would come up with this probably. The number one band in the 90s for quite a while was Hootie and the Blowfish. Remember them? This is what they sounded like.
She sits alone by a lamppost.
Oh, what a beautiful song. Number one.
Trying to find a thought.
The lead singer is Darius Rucker. Grew up in South Carolina.
She says there's a one.
Darius Rucker wrote a lot of the songs that became hits, including this one. Darius Rucker is African American. Okay, that's great. Hootie and the Blowfish, fine. But Darius Rucker walks away from the band, from rock, because he wants to follow his passion, which is country music. Okay? That's fine. But you can imagine, to go from being a pop rock star, it's not a problem being black in this country, but go be a country and western singer? The last guy to do it successfully was Charlie Pride. But did you know, from 1966 to 1987, during the height of Charlie Pride's success as an African-American country singer, the first three records that RCA put out didn't have his picture on it because they were afraid no one would buy it. And you're going to listen to an interview with Darius Rucker about the challenges. Talk about risk-taking in a career of switching over to being a country and western singer. This is Wagon Wheel, Darius Rucker, as a country singer. It's just fantastic. You already know it's country. Listen to the banjos.
And down south to the land of the pines. I'm thumbing my way in North Carolina. Staring up the road and pray to God I see headlights.
Whether you like country music or not, as a risk taker, which we all have to be in life, you got to root for this guy and be so proud of him because he did something that very few people have the guts to do, which is to believe in yourself. I just love it. And when he talks about Charlie Pride, who you can only imagine the challenges he had. This is Charlie Pride. Oh, do I love this song.
Give her a chance to be old friends on the street. They want the kind of the man get to be this way.
I can't wait for them to make a movie about Charlie Pride. Starring Darius Rucker. Any of you Hollywood producers listening, you want to make a lot of money? Make a movie about Charlie Pride's life, and Darius Rucker, I'm sure, would be happy to star.
Kiss an angel good morning.
Kiss an angel good morning.
And
let her know you think about it when you're gone.
Kiss an angel good morning. Love her like the devil when you get back.
And love her like the devil when you get back home. Ah, you gotta love it. So that's in art, which we'll get into. Darius Rucker. What about in sports? Oh, my God. Do you remember the Dallas Cowboys when they were relevant? They're not relevant now. Too bad, Will Cain. They're not relevant now. But they were relevant when Jimmy Johnson took the biggest risk. Number one, leaving college football and coming to the Dallas Cowboys to replace Tom Landry, the Mount Rushmore coach of all time. And then the first thing he does is trade. Talk about a gambler. Their best player, Herschel Walker, he gets rid of to get draft picks. But it isn't that he got draft picks. He knew what to do with the draft picks. Wait till you hear the story of Jimmy Johnson, the Dallas Cowboys. To me, that's risk-taking in sports at the highest level. And in surgery, I'm going to teach you a little bit about risk-taking. Of course, there's risks anytime you have an operation. But how we have reduced the risks by using ultrasound when we do anesthesia. When I do knee surgery now and hip surgery and shoulder surgery, you're not going to sleep anymore like you used to because of the ability to make the nerve sleep. They're called regional blocks, regional anesthesia. And in the 90s, the anesthesiologist used to stick a needle, hit the nerve. They'd ask the patient, you feel tingling down your leg or down your arm? They knew they were out on the nerve. And then they put the medicine, which was not a good thing for the nerve. Now they can see through the skin in the operating room at what the nerve looks like, where it is, and put the medicine exactly there. It's fascinating technology, decreasing the risks when you have an operation. And Clapper Vision, oh, I can't wait. I may have to do a whole segment about Drew Brees and Isaiah Thomas. Drew Brees, the quarterback for the Saints, his thumb separated from the rest of his hand on the helmet of Aaron Donald and tore a ligament in his thumb, had surgery here in Los Angeles this past week. And Isaiah Thomas, the beautiful player, the star, used to be with the Celtics. He also had thumb surgery on the other ligament in his thumb, the radial collateral ligament. But we're going to do a Clapper Vision today, thanks to a company called Arthrex, creating a world for us that allows us to rebuild ligaments in your thumb and have you back playing. You'll notice the Saints did not put Drew Brees on injured reserve. That means he can come back in 6 weeks or less. And I got news for you. He will. Why can you do so well so quickly when we repair the ligament in your thumb? So there's a device, a new technology from Arthrex called an internal brace. And later on, I think I may do a segment. You got to hear about why the ligament in your thumb, Clapper Vision, is like a windshield wiper on your windshield of your car. You don't want to miss that one. But let's get into risk-taking, today's topic. And by the way, the number is 877-710-ESPN. I played some of the songs. Here it is again, Darius Rucker.
She sits alone by a lamppost.
Beautiful.
Trying to find a thought that's escaped her mind.
Switching to country music.
Heading down south to the land of the pines and thumbing my way. Carolina, staring up the road and pray to God I see headlights.
Taking a risk, becoming a country singer and doing extremely well with that wagon wheel. Here's Darius Rucker talking about Charlie Pride, his hero, and becoming a country singer.
I always want to know what it was like in the old days, and he's always ready to tell stories. But, you know, Charlie went through a lot of stuff to do what he loved to do, and he loved to sing country music. You know, from his label not putting his face on the first three or four records just so nobody would know, and then, you know, when he finally got big and everything, all the places he plays. I mean, I always say, no matter what happens to me as a black man in country music, I can handle it if Charlie Pride can handle all the stuff he went through.
As a black man in country music, you talk about taking a risk with your career.
Hate mail's been a part of part of my life. You know, I'm that's just the way it is. And, I mean, we still get it. You know, there's still people that don't want me to be singing country music, and we get it. But I never want to let anybody tell me what I can do. You know, I always want to do what I want to do. And like with drowning, I understand you have to remember your heritage, and I'm all for remembering the past, because I believe if we don't remember the past, we're bound to forget it. I just thought on the top of the state house, you should have the American flag in your state flag.
We got to thank Darius's mom for encouraging him.
That goes back to my mom, who, you know, even my brothers and sisters, I'd be sitting in the living room listening to some country station or some rock station, flipping through the channels, and, you know, they'd walk in, you know, why are you listening to that white boy music? And my mom would tell him, shut up and let him listen to whatever he wants to, you know?
Okay.
And she was adamant, I don't know why as a kid, but she was adamant about that I shouldn't pigeonhole myself. I should listen, whatever I wanted to listen to in that radio, I should go listen to. And that's, she's probably the reason I'm here right now. I think if I had gotten to listen to them, I would have just turned it all off. It was hard. It was hard. You know, a lot of people said, even people at my label told the president of the label who signed me it would never work.
And why wouldn't it work?
I think it had to do with coming over from the pop world.
Okay.
But I'm sure at least a little bit of it had to do with being an African American guy trying to sing country music. And we went to like 150 radio stations, man. Three or four or five a day, doing the Monday through Friday. They usually gave me chills. And some of the guys who are program directors, who are my buddies, that I, you know, if I needed another.
Talking about how Darius Rucker switched to country music. Let's talk about sports. What about Jimmy Johnson? Who's Jimmy Johnson? This is what it sounds like when you win a Super Bowl when no one said you could.
You did one hell of a job, and the only thing else I got to say is, how about them Cowboys?
Jimmy Johnson.
I got my degree in psychology, and I thought that I was going to be an industrial psychologist and go and work for a company. But the defensive coordinator at Louisiana Tech had a heart attack. They had copied the University of Arkansas style of defense, and they asked if I would go there and just coach for the season. Once I got into it, I realized coaching, it was really just psychology.
But here comes the risk-taking.
Jimmy had a sense of replacing the legend.
You think about those shoes that he had to fill to replace Howard Schnellenberger and win a national championship. And how much more of a tough situation could you have than going into Dallas and replacing Tom Landry?
The Dallas Cowboys have been sold to oil man Jerry Jones.
Jimmy Johnson steps into the shadow of a legend. Former college coach officially takes the place of Tom Landry.
Tom Landry was not just a football coach. He's Mount Rushmore with the hat on, and here comes Jimmy with the hair, and people were just rolling their eyes everywhere saying, what is this guy from Arkansas getting us into?
You got the owner and the coach. Talk about gambling. How about gambling with your career, gambling with your life? You got two gamblers coming together.
I was the general manager, and Jimmy was the coach. Certainly, he had spent all that time in football and understood what a football player looked like better than I did. At the same time, I was a good trader. That's what I did for a living, and that's how I bought the Cowboys.
You know, he's in the oil business, so they were great marriage. Because Jerry is a gambler, and Jimmy is a huge gambler. I mean, the Herschel Walker trade was incredible.
It was incredible. And coming up next, somebody who knows a lot about gambling with your life, taking risks. The great Greg Ehrenberg from DraftKings. We're going to learn a lot about what it's like to be a stand-up comedian and then become a football guru with your life. Talk about risk-taking. Can't wait to talk to him. You're listening to the one and only Weekend Warrior Show here on ESPN LA 710. Who is on fire? This girl is on fire. God bless you, Alicia Keys. There's no R in the word fire. F-I-A-H. Like clapper. K-L-A-P-P-A-H. And why would Steve Paulette be playing a song about fire? Because when you take a risk, you could get burned. So get ready for today's bumper music for being all about fire. But how do you not get burned? Information is power. And the information comes from gurus. And there's no bigger guru for the sport of football than my guest, Greg Ehrenberg. Greg, thanks so much for getting up early to be with us.
Well, not that early for me because I live on the East Coast, but there's definitely bigger gurus than me because I weigh about 125 pounds.
So talk to me. What did your father do for a living? Where'd you grow up? Who are you?
Well, I am Greg. I grew up in Warren, New Jersey, kind of like upper middle class, went to college.
What'd your dad do for a living?
He worked in retail. Pretty normal upbringing.
Where'd you go to college?
I went to Elon in North Carolina. Never used my degree for anything. The day I graduated from school, I decided I didn't want to work in an office, and it just wasn't for me. I just wanted to kind of do whatever I felt like.
Wow. And so how did you, so you started up as a stand-up comedian?
Yep, I was going to New York from New Jersey 7 nights a week and taking the last train home, just bouncing around from club to club, bar to bar, wherever I could, doing like 4 or 5 spots a night. And just, I never planned anything. Like there was never a point where I said, this is the plan, this is what I'm going to do, just kind of all intuition and doing whatever I felt like. And one thing led to another, and somehow I ended up in the fantasy sports industry, writing, playing VFS. So if I had to give any kind of advice to anybody for that wanted to get involved in this line of work, I would say don't plan anything and just kind of do what you feel like.
Well, I could tell already, Greg, you have attention deficit disorder because you keep moving around and we lose the signal. So do me a favor. Stand in one place as you use your cell phone because otherwise you're getting muffled.
Oh, my bad. Well, I'm sitting down now. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can. I want to ask, before we even get started, to talk about your thoughts about fantasy football and understanding which players are strong and not. The idea of PEDs, performance-enhancing drugs, which I don't want to get into with you. It's not my place. But I want to ask you about your feelings about something that's near and dear to me, which is I'm an orthopedic surgeon. I put people back together again in many ways. What about not PEDs, but PESs? And not some PEDs are illegal. You can't enhance with drugs your ability to play sports. It's illegal. And it's also not right. But I'm an orthopedic surgeon. And this week, we got to see literally season-ending, career-ending injuries, be it Drew Brees, be it Ben Roethlisberger, that now, rather than Sandy Koufax saying, I can't pitch anymore, because in the 60s it was called blowing out your elbow, or Gale Sayers blowing out his knee because we couldn't reconstruct an ACL, now a player can have a rebuild of their ligament, of their rotator cuff, of their meniscus, of all kinds of things, performance-enhancing surgery, to guys who try to figure out the worth of a player. It must be astounding that these injuries don't seem to make a blip at all in whether you say you can play them or not.
Well, don't forget also with baseball, somebody tears their UCL now. Somebody goes for Tommy John surgery. There was a point in time where that meant your career could have been over, like you said, like somebody like Sandy Koufax. Like, we don't know exactly what some of these injuries were back in the day.
You got to sit still again, Greg. Stay in one spot.
I'm staying in one spot.
Okay.
So it just might be my cell phone. Sorry.
Okay.
But if you look at some of those injuries that guys had back in the day that might have been career ending, that happens today. And it's almost career enhancing, like you said, like somebody. They come back off and throwing 2-3 miles per hour harder. They become different pitchers. They become better. So it's just kind of the evolution of the game and the evolution of the science. And not to get too far off topic, but that's one of the reasons I think it's so hard to compare players from generation to generation, just because we have such different science.
Right.
And we have different information, different technology. But I think it's just part of it.
Okay. All right. Teach us about week number three. Which players are surprising you for week three? And I'm a huge Rams fan, and this is the station for the L.A. Rams. So if you have thoughts about the L.A. Rams, we certainly want to hear it as well.
So we'll start with that game, the Rams and Browns overall. One thing that I think is really interesting is I think this is a really good litmus test for the Browns and Baker Mayfield, because they're one of the teams that we're kind of expected to break out. And even though they're 1-1, they're coming off a big win over the Jets on Monday Night Football. It was kind of a game we expected them to win. They did what they were supposed to do. The Jets were down to their third-string quarterback. And I think this should be a good question to figure out, like, how good is Baker Mayfield? Mm-hmm. He's been so erratic to start the season. He was somebody I kind of took for granted heading into the year. I just thought that he was almost like a lock to be a really good quarterback. And the Rams are such a good team, the prohibitive favorites to win the NFC, that I'm really looking at this game as how good are the Browns going to be entering the season. From a fantasy standpoint for the Rams, it's a little hard to find DFS value just because they have so many good players and the ball gets spread around so much on a game-to-game basis. If I want to take a bet, I think it's going to be lower on. Maybe Todd Gurley, just because the sentiment is so against him right now. The workload hasn't been consistent. But we've gotten the touches. We saw the efficiency last week, and the upside, I think, is still there.
Mm. What's the most important player or position, I should say, when you draft a roster?
Yeah, so it's going to be any kind of value guy. So let's say a starter gets ruled out. Like, for instance, this week, kind of off the radar type guy from a normal week is somebody like Nelson Agholor on the Eagles, where he's kind of buried on the depth chart. He's typically the third receiver behind DeSean Jackson, behind Alshon Jeffrey. But this week, DeSean Jackson's out. Alshon Jeffrey is questionable to play. Looks like he's kind of trending towards not playing. Now Agholor goes from a third string receiver to all of a sudden he's going to be the number one guy for Carson Wentz.
Last week, where when both those guys, DeSean Jackson and Alshon Jeffrey, got hurt, Agholor ended up stepping up. He saw double-digit targets at over 100 receiving yards, but he still is priced really cheaply because he's stepping into a bigger role than he's normally in. So Nelson Agholor, to me, a really good value play, and that's where you find value. Those are the guys you start your lineups with for DFS.
You're not in the fantasy business. You're in the injury business, because it sounds like you got to figure out who's injured on the team, and then you figure out which players you're going to use. It's fascinating how much injuries play into this world of fantasy football.
Yeah, for sure. And that ties into you being a doctor, and that's kind of what gives you valuable insight into this kind of business.
Right.
Because if you look at the way that DFS works and the pricing, it's priced for what the guy's normal production is on a week-to-week basis.
Because generally, players, statistics, it's kind of static, and we can generally kind of predict it. However, once somebody gets injured, all of a sudden somebody takes on a bigger role than they normally have. More touches, more carries, more playing time. That equates to more production. And so those guys tend to be underpriced because they're priced for their normal production. All of a sudden they're put into a bigger role than they normally in because of an injury situation.
And I will tell you, the sophistication that we have as orthopedic surgeons continues to improve because our technology continues to improve. You know, and I'm talking season to season. You are going to see, mark my words, Greg Ehrenberg, in the next couple of seasons, you're going to see a player, and there's 50, 60 every year in the NFL, tear their ACL, and they're going to come back playing midseason, because we're getting closer and closer to being able to repair the ligament rather than using a graft, which means you're out for the whole year. So it's fascinating. You're going to need to actually have an orthopedic surgeon on speed dial, because they'll announce what the injury is, but with sophisticated knowledge, I can explain to you, nope, this is actually going to behave a little differently than the last time you heard this injury. Who surprised you most this season, by the way?
Surprised me most? I mean, we're only two games in. I wouldn't necessarily say surprised me in terms of being like a great player or anything, but I brought him up at the top. Like, I thought Baker Mayfield was just such a safe bet to kind of be like a Pro Bowl caliber quarterback.
And he's been so rough this year. He's one of the lowest passes on mark. There's this stat that Pro Football Focus uses, which is catchable passes thrown. And he's bottom three in the league. He's below 70%, one of the only starting quarterbacks that are below 70%. So I think that the big playability is there for Baker Mayfield, except I think he's taking too many chances downfield, especially we saw last week where they had a massive lead against the Jets, and he still threw an interception late in the game. He was kind of an ill-advised pass downfield. So I thought that Baker Mayfield was going to take the next step forward, and still kind of unsure of how good he is at this point.
Final question. I got about a minute left. Greg Ehrenberg from DraftKings. Tell us, which four teams are going to be there at the end of the season and who is going to the Super Bowl?
All right, so I'll go a little chalky here. I think it's going to be Patriots and Chiefs in the AFC, and I favor the Chiefs to beat the Patriots at this point now that Antonio Brown's no longer on New England, and Patrick Mahomes, I just think, is unstoppable. I think he's the most matchup-proof player we have in the league. In the NFC, I'm going to say it's going to be the Rams.
Yeah!
The Eagles. There we go. They'll play to the hometown audience a little bit. And I'll have the Rams going to the Super Bowl. But I think they lose in the Super Bowl to Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs because I just think Mahomes is the most ridiculous thing we've ever seen.
Except if they play in Mexico City again.
Yeah, they play in Mexico. We'll see if you could get that set up. I don't know what kind of poll you have.
Hey, listen, Greg, we want to thank you so much for joining us. Maybe we'll do it again down the line. I really appreciate it. The Weekend Warrior Nation really appreciates you.
Yeah, thanks for having me on the program. I appreciate it as well. And people can follow me on Twitter at GEhrenbergVFS. That's GEhrenbergVERG.
Okay, young man. Thanks so much. All right, Warriors, the number is 877-710-ESPN. We'll do some clap revision. I want to tell you, what exactly did Drew Brees do to his thumb? Why will he be back so quickly? What is improving in our technology? And why? Does it really matter what the location of the injury is in terms of how quickly you can come back? I'll explain, and it includes a windshield wiper. Get ready. I'll take your calls as well. 877-710-ESPN. I've seen fire and I've seen rain. Sunny days. The great James Taylor, Fire and Rain. We're talking about fire because if you don't make the right bet in life, you do get burned. All the songs today will be about fire. Fantastic, Steve Paulette. All right, I'll do the Drew Brees and Arthrex and our technology to rebuild a quarterback's thumb so they can play in record time. I'll do it after I talk to the Weekend Warrior Nation. Let's do some live Clapper vision. Let's go to Mike in Huntington Beach. You're on with Dr. Clapper. How can I help?
Hi, Dr. Clapper. How are you?
Very good. Thanks for calling. Good. You listen to the show?
I do. I listen to it every Saturday. You know, I listen to it on my way to go surf. So.
Ah! Oh, I can't wait to be out there tomorrow.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, well, hopefully the surf picks up a little bit, but you might like it.
You know what Jerry Lopez says? The best surfer in the ocean is the guy having the most fun.
I believe it. Yeah, I've met him a couple of times.
Yeah, great guy. Yeah. Great guy. Yeah. And remember what Duke Kahanamoku said when you're sitting out there and there's nothing coming. Duke Kahanamoku said, don't worry, the wave will come. So there you go, Mike. How can I help you? What do you do to yourself? What do you do for a living?
Well, I'm an accountant.
Really? So it's a desk job?
Really exciting, yes. Yes.
Really? All right. I love that. You're a numbers guy. Where did you grow up?
Well, I grew up in Florida, and then I moved out to California later in life, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the waves are a lot better here than they are in Florida, trust me.
Yeah.
All right, what did you do to yourself? How can I help you?
Well, it's probably not the most exciting story you guys have on the air, but, you know, I've had lower back issues for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I go to get an MRI and x-rays and all of that, they just tell me, you know, you've got deteriorated disc, and, you know, it looks normal for somebody your age.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there are times where it just hurts like heck, you know.
Does it ever radiate into your buttock, your thigh, down your leg, or does it stay in your lower back?
No, as a matter of fact, it is starting to do that. And my left leg and my left foot, not my left leg, but my left foot actually goes numb.
Mm.
And it happens a lot when I'm surfing, too.
You know, in the past, Mike, the options for... So here's a clap revision for you. You go to your kitchen sink, you got an old house, you turn on the faucet, and the pressure is gone. They check out in front of the house, and the water pressure from the city coming to your house is just fine. So what is making the faucet have less water pressure? Because you have galvanized pipe, you don't have copper pipe, and galvanized pipe gets rusty. So the tube, the pipe itself, the diameter of the pipe gets more narrow, all right? So the water pressure is less. Less water can go through the pipe if it's more narrow. Well, the reality is the bone in your spine has a hole in it, like a pipe. It's called the spinal canal. And as you get older, you're 59 years old, you got rust, you got galvanized pipe. So the place for the nerve in the tube of the bone starts to fill with bone spurs, just like rust. It literally is what it looks like. And in the past, the technology was you either Roto-Rooter it, okay, or you fuse it, which is going to take away your range of motion. It works, but it unfortunately causes stress to the other discs. Remember the classic clapper vision, what I use for the spine? It's like a stack of Oreo cookies. The bone is the cookie, the discs are the cream filling. And as you get older, the cream filling dries out and the cookies literally start to get closer to each other because you have less hydration, less water volume in the disc. If you pinch the back of your hand, you can wait for a half an hour for your skin to flatten. You pinch the back of a hand of a 20-year-old, it snaps back into position. So your discs start to dry out. The bone itself creates spurs, gets rusty. So you either clean it up or you fuse it. Well, guess what? In a guy like you, who's young, you're 59, and you have multiple levels that they've told you that have this corrosion taking place, you know what's an option for you now that is not a fusion and not a Roto-Rooter that we didn't have before? You, Mike, from Huntington Beach, may be a candidate. I don't know. I haven't seen your x-ray or MRI, but you may be a candidate for a disc replacement. And that is fantastic because then you're not putting extra stress at the Oreo cookie and cream filling above you or below the level that's mostly damaged. You get to preserve the range of motion, preserve the movement, if you will, so you don't stress the other areas more if you fused it or if you just did a Roto-Rooter procedure. So you need to do some homework. There's a couple of guys at Cedars I can give you the name of who are excellent at doing this, but the reality is time to get a second opinion. Do not let them shoot you up with cortisone. Don't let them give you pills for this. Be holistic. You're surfing already. That's a fantastic thing for your lower back. Being in the pool. But if you've got numbness in your foot, you could do the pool till the cows come home. It ain't going to make a difference. You really need to evaluate what the status is of the nerve and the disc. And you may have that option of a disc replacement. Wouldn't that be fantastic? So you hang on the line and I'll give you the names of a couple of surgeons. All right, let's take a break. We'll pay some bills. The lines are lit up. I'm going to do Jim in L.A. next. You hang on the line, Jim. I'll get right to you. Let's pay some bills. You're listening to the one and only Weekend Warrior Show here on ESPN L.A. 710. Fire! Again, F-I-A-H, the Ohio Players. And I just gave Mike from Huntington Beach a couple of spine surgeons at Cedars who can do disc replacements. Happy man. Hope you catch some waves today, Mike. All right, let's go to Jim in L.A. You're on with Dr. Clapper. How can I help, Jim?
Dr. Clapper, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, young man. You're 49. When's your big birthday?
My big birthday is just right around the corner, 3 more months.
Oh, what are you going to do when you turn 50?
I'm going to go skydiving.
Really? Good for you.
Yes.
Ah, that's fantastic.
It's a bucket list.
Exactly. Listen, I'm also going to give you a suggestion. Have you ever been to Mount Rushmore?
No.
Well, Mount Rushmore is the biggest monument in the world, in rock, in granite. We don't need to go to Egypt to see the pyramids. You can go right here in America to see Mount Rushmore, and you can fit the Statue of Liberty into George Washington's nose. You can't imagine how big this is, and it's really easy to get there. You go to Burbank Airport, fly to Denver. It's a layover. You then take the short flight to Rapid City, South Dakota, 45 minutes, hour. Rent a car, 15 minutes. Your eyes will pop out of your head when you see what Gutzon Borglum did with that granite. It's incredible. So think about going to Mount Rushmore. What do you do for a living, Jim?
I work at a desk. I work in investment, so I'm pretty much sitting down all day.
Okay. What's your sport? How do you burn off steam?
Karate.
Really? You know what's interesting, Jim? I see more ACL tears in the knee, the ligament injuries, in martial artists than I'll ever see in basketball and football players. And I learned a lot, taking care of Chuck Norris for all these years, I learned a lot about martial arts from him. But, oh my God, the high torque, that a martial artist does is unbelievable to the body. So what did you do to yourself? How'd you hurt yourself? What's up?
Well, I tore my meniscus. It's a minor tear.
Mm-hmm.
I also have fluid on my right knee.
Mm-hmm. How long ago?
Probably a year, and a little bit more than a year.
And so what are your symptoms now? Is it pain? Is it swelling? What is it that's bothering you?
It swells up. If I let my knee rest, it kind of goes back to how it's supposed to be. But then if I start walking a lot, it swells up. Karate, I can't bend my knee.
Mm.
I can extend it, but for some reason, I can't bend it.
Mm.
So,
you know, a year and a half is a long time. I will tell you this, though. A torn meniscus, which is the shock absorber cartilage in your knee. It's different from the other kind. There's two kinds of cartilages in your knee, so you have to be very careful about what you say about cartilage. There's the rotor. This is a clapper vision. In your car, do you listen to the show? You know what a clapper vision is?
Yes, I do, doctor. I listen to you every Saturday.
All right. Well, I appreciate that. In your car right now, your brakes have two components to them. You got the brake pad, and you have the rotor. It's kind of like your kitchen. You got the linoleum and you got the floorboards under the linoleum. There's two components to a floor. There's two components to your knee and there's two components to your brakes. The meniscus is the brake pad. At 49 years old, I suspect you got a little bit more than just the brake pad going on. You may have some stuff going on in your rotor as well. And I don't have x-ray vision. The best way to tell what it is an MRI. Have you had an MRI?
Yes, I do. Yes, I did.
Did they tell you, do you have any arthritis, or did they say it's just in your meniscus?
The arthritis is starting. It's barely starting.
Okay, so here's what I'm going to tell you. If you're 29 years old, Jim, it's a much easier thought. We'll put stitches or we'll trim the meniscus because the rotors are fine. There's no damage to the deeper cartilage. But when you're 49 years old and you start removing portions of the brake pad, you now expose the rotor to more of the trauma of your knee. So you certainly don't let them stick a needle of stem cells and cortisone and other, no needles into your knee if you can. But what you want to do is devote, if you can, and physical therapy, I love physical therapy, but I'm not even advocating this right now. There's a book I wrote with Linda Huey called Heal Your Knees. It's all about bringing into your life for the next 2-3 months devoted Monday, Wednesday, Friday to swimming pool exercises and Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday riding a stationary bike. Don't do the treadmill, the lunges, squats, stair machines, or weights, and stay away from martial arts for the next month or two. Try to strengthen the quad, the hamstring, the calf muscles above and below. This would be the greatest way, because what you and I really want to do here, Jim, is avoid surgery. But not just because you're praying to avoid it, but actually doing something. If at the end of a couple of months of the pool and the bike program, your knee still doesn't fully bend and still has these symptoms, then you've also made recovery from your surgery that much easier. You know what I mean? You get to win both ways. You're either going to win by avoiding surgery, and it's not going to be in 2 weeks. It takes a month or two to see if it's going to work, kind of like a blister becomes a callus so it doesn't hurt anymore. But if you still have the symptoms after a couple of months of the pool and the bike and you have an arthroscopy of your knee, and I do hundreds of these, I mean, thousands of them over 30 years. It's not like I don't do them, but you will make your recovery easier on yourself because you're in better shape. Capiche?
Capiche. What about the fluid? So no needles, you said, right?
The fluid is necessary. Don't be letting them take the fluid out. You need that fluid. You need to get this to be better. That's just irritation from the meniscus. It'll come back even if they take the fluid out. Don't let them stick a needle in your knee right now. That's my opinion.
Okay, thank you for that.
All right, Jim, I want you to do me a favor. I just did you a favor. I want you to find a total stranger today. Do something nice for them. That's how you'll be thanking me.
I will definitely do that, Dr. Clapper.
All right, God bless, Jim. Have a good day.
Yeah,
all right, well, Warriors. You're very welcome, my man. I appreciate it. In the 2 minutes we have left, we got to talk about food. This is what I want to talk about. I love eggplant parmesan. I love veal parmesan. When you ask yourself, you know, what's going to be your last meal on the planet Earth? Mine's an easy one. I'm going to La Scala in Beverly Hills and getting their veal parmesan because it's the best I've ever had in my life. My mouth is watering already. But I also love eggplant Parmesan. Here's the problem with eggplant Parmesan. When they make it, they cut the eggplant too thick. I don't want a steak of eggplant. You know? I mean, if you're a vegetarian, God bless you. I ain't a vegetarian. I don't want a thick piece of eggplant in my mouth. What I want is the thinnest possible slice of the eggplant. Italian breadcrumbs, olive oil, egg batter. But not just the greatest red sauce and cheese melting on it. Guess what I want? I want you to make the eggplant Parmesan like it's a lasagna. So they take the thinnest eggplant, and then they put the mozzarella cheese and sauce on top. Then they put another stack of the eggplant thin slices breaded, and you stack the eggplant Parmesan with the cheese and the sauce like it's a lasagna. Then you bake the whole thing, and you order extra marinara sauce when the plate comes to your table. And I pour, I could go swimming. Forget the wetsuit to go surfing. I'd love to jump into the marinara sauce. That's how much I love this stuff. So where is, I can't even speak, Steve Paulette. My mouth is so filled with water. Where is the best eggplant Parmesan that I've ever had here in Los Angeles? You know where it is? It's at the top of Beverly Glen. You have to figure out where that is. The restaurant. Fabricini's.
I love it.
And it's been there forever. And it's the grandmother's recipe. Because in the recipe books, they don't tell you to make eggplant Parmesan this way. But they make it the way the grandmother said. It's like $20 or something. It's get extra marinara sauce. You will thank me. And you know what I saw today? How much? We have a minute left or 30 seconds? We got a minute? You know, I eat at the pantry before I do the show. Today I saw something at the pantry that I've never seen before. They have the best bread that you can have with eggs. Their sourdough toast is unreal. And they don't toast it. They put it on the grill with butter. It's unbelievable. Today I'm watching the guy pour from the sugar that I used to put in my coffee. He's pouring sugar on top of the grill with the sourdough toast and the butter. And he's putting cinnamon. He's grilling the sugar with the cinnamon into the sourdough toast. I nearly lost my mind. And the waitress, she says to me, "Oh yeah, we do this all the time, Dr. Clapper." I said, "Oh my God, this could be your last meal on earth. It's fantastic." All right, coming up next, I'm going to tell you some stories about risk taking. My guest at 7:15 works for DraftKings. He's in the risk business, betting on fantasy football. But what about risks in the world of art, in the world of sports, and in my world of surgery? We'll get into it. Talking about the great Darius Rucker and Coach Jimmy Johnson here on the Weekend Warrior Show on ESPN LA 710.